Good morning, Boker Tov, and a Freilich and a Chanukah. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning as we make our way through Tanya together. A huge thank you for our generous sponsors, Marilyn and Michael Fedak. Thank you for this and so much else. Please help yourself in Reb Shaya La Corner this morning. We have coffee and slushies and sufganiyot. Help yourself to a donut and celebrate Chanukah with us. We are on the sixth Perek Vav of Tanya. We began last time by speaking about the animal soul. We've gone into and dissected. We've analyzed the different layers of the divine soul, the chelak alakol mimal mamish, the godly soul, the godliness that is inside each and every one of us, made up of the 10 different spheros, 3 in thought and 7 in midos, and made up of the 3 garments that we wear, speech, thought, and of action. And the Balatanya, the Alter Rebbe, tells us that what's true for the godly soul is equally true, because we always have balance, equally and opposite true for the animal soul that's inside us. And even though we didn't think about it, the animal soul has the same architecture as the divine soul. 3 intellectual, 7 which are emotional, and then the 3 garments in which it expresses itself, the animal soul in the world of free will and in the world of choice. Which brings us up to the second section of the sixth parak. Second section of the sixth parak. Ve'aser b'chinos elu. Now, when you use these 10 impure powers, the animal soul inside us is the lowest and most base part of who we are. If the godly soul represents our sense of intellect, our capacity of cognition, our connection to the source and to the divine, if the godly soul in us represents the ability to be sovereign, disciplined, self-control, to elevate and to empower everything, then the animal soul is the opposite. The animal soul is the place of impulse, the place of instinct. The animal doesn't have self-awareness. The animal doesn't think. The animal doesn't consider the consequence. The animal just has drive. The animal wants to eat. It doesn't say, do I own this? Is it the right time, in the right place? Is this appropriate or proper? The animal just dives in and eats. The animal needs to eliminate what it ate. It doesn't say, is this appropriate? Is it modest? The animal finds a tree or a bush or a patch of grass. And the animal does what it wants to do. And similarly with everything about the animal acts on impulse, the animal acts on instinct. The animal is driven only by base desire. And that animal soul is inside us. And we live this tension, this conflict, this battle between the two parts of who we are, these two souls. And we need to understand the architecture of the animal soul, what makes it tick, its drive, in order to be able to not conquer it. As we've said now several times, the Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya's Chiddush, is that we're not trying to shecht or destroy or purge or eliminate the animal soul. We're trying to train it. We're trying to elevate it. We're trying to transform it. So when you use these 10 impure powers of the animal soul in the world of thought, speech, or action, in other words, when we could speak in a way we're expressing our divine soul. We could speak Torah, we could speak tefillah, we could offer compliments and praise, we could reach out, Chanukah, we can invite and welcome others. We could use the power of speech positively, or we can scream, we can yell, we could be impatient, we could malign, we could marginalize, we could criticize, we can condemn, we can use profanity. The power of speech could be reflective of the animal impulse and the animal inside us. It can go in both directions. That's true for speech. It's true even for thoughts. Our thoughts can be elevated or our thoughts can bring us down. We can indulge our thoughts to fantasize about the wrong things, or we can instead choose to direct thoughts in a way that are going to elevate and lift. And of course, it's true in the world of action. Harei machshav to shebemocha v'diburo shebepiv v'koach hamasi shebiyado v'shari varav. The thought in your brain, that's in your mouth, or the power of action in your hands or other limbs. Nikraim levushe misavu le'esa b'chinos elu atmeo shemislabshos ben b'shas maisa u'dibur o machshava. Just like speech, thought, and action are external. They're the lavush. On the one hand, we wear them. On the one hand, we identify with them. They're a uniform. But on the other hand, we can take them off. We can disrobe from them. That was true for the godly soul. And certainly it's also equally true for the animal soul, is that the speech that we're offering or the actions that we're doing or even the thoughts inside our head are external and apart from the core and the essence of who we are. And we've spoken a lot about in the past that we were surprised by thought. Speech and action we can understand as external, but thought we saw it was something internal and part of the essence of who we are. The Balatanya's Machadish, no. Even thought is not the essential part of who we are. It's a lavush. It's a garment that we wear. We wear those thoughts, but they don't define us, and they are not the same as us. So here the Baal HaTanya makes this major paradigm shift. Reb Chaim Miller in his commentary points it out, Reb Steinsaltz in his commentary, every commentary highlights this and points this out. We mentioned it last week, we alluded to it. Ordinarily we think of, in the world of halacha, for example, there's asr, mutter, and rishus. A cheeseburger is asr, it's forbidden, it's bad. Spiritually, it's eating poison. Doing malacha on Shabbos, gossiping and speaking lashon hara. We have a world of isser, things that we are warned and cautioned we're not to do, consequences and accountability if we violate, and they're forbidden, they're asr. And then we have a world of mitzvah. The opposite of asr, sorry, is not mutter, mitzvah. The world of mitzvah is that there's inherently a value in doing this. So we light the menorah each night. We're lighting the Hanukkah candles. We're saying halal this morning and ala nisim. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that we are performing, a mitzvah that we're fulfilling. And ordinarily we think, at least in the world of halacha, that there's a third category. There's asr, forbidden. There's mitzvah, which is elevated. And there's rishus, rishus. Is it a mitzvah or is it asr to eat a sufganiya? Now it could depend on your glucose level, could depend on your belt size, it could depend on your cardiac health, could depend on a lot of things. It could be a davar asr mamish. Could depend on your wife, could be pikuach nefesh for you. It could be asr mamish. Asr mamish, if it's bad for your health, and it's bad for everybody's health, but I mean that one particular donut could be particularly bad for your health, then it's in the category of a davar asr. It's forbidden, it's forbidden. Is it a mitzvah? We justify it. We rationalize it. We convince ourselves of it. But it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch that there's a mitzvah to have a sufganiya on Hanukkah. It doesn't appear. So we think of it as a davar rishus. You walk by Reb Shaila corner, and you'll see the multi-flavors of sufganiyot. Some of you have a little powder on your chin right now. I see. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to make an ala mechia. So which flavor? Jelly?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Okay, nice. So it's a davar rishus. You know, it's a davar rishus. You can, you don't have to. You go to sleep. Is that a mitzvah? Is that a davar asr? You, ichves, you're reading the newspaper. We have a whole category of life and lifestyle which doesn't fit neatly into a davar asr, it's forbidden, nor is it a mitzvah. It's a rishus. Comes along the Alter Rebbe de Baal HaTanya and he says, no, there are only two sides in this world. There's the side of God and there's the sitra achra. There's the dark side, there's the other side. Everything we do in all three realms of thought, speech, and action, we are either expressing ego or elokus. I'll take you back to the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. Shabbos Shuvah Drasha this past year, should really write it up as an article. Shabbos Shuvah Drasha was that our lives are either ego or elokus. It's about us, our happiness, our pleasure, our need, our honor. It's ego, or we're living a life of elokus. What's my mission? What's my purpose? What's my essence? Now, you could eat a sufganiya, you could eat a donut out of ego or out of elokus. Let's start with the easy one. You could eat the donut out of ego. I crave it. I have an appetite for it. I want it. I'm drawn to it. The sugar rush, the smell, the flavor, the deliciousness of it. It's my ego. I want it. I'm hungry. I need it. I want it. That's ego. You could also, the way you ate it, eat it out of elokus. I don't really want it. And I don't need it. But I'm doing it because I want to tap into Hanukkah, the simcha, the yontif, the holiday, the happiness. I want to connect to the miracle. And I want to be mefarsim the nes. The little sugar still on my chin all day. Everybody's going to say, ooh, yada sufganiya. Oh, that's right. There was a miracle. The few defeated the many. And the oil lasted 8 days. So you're eating the sufganiya out of elokus. Now, how do you know if it's ego or elokus? That's hard. That's the battle of life. But notice that... Took one for the team. We thank you for it. Hope you had us in mind. The some are machmir that they can't be yotze with others. They have to do it themselves. So the Baal HaTanya here says there's no third category called rishus. There is no neutral. There is no parav. There is no rishus. There's no elective. There's just the good, the light side, and the dark side. The sitra achra and the tzad elokus. The ego or the elokus. That's how Reb Chaim Miller describes it. In Rabbi Steinsaltz's, he writes, the sitra achra is the Kabbalistic term for evil, but the words literally mean the other side, that is not the side of holiness. In other words, on the most basic level, there are two aspects to reality, holiness and the other side. The domain of halacha contains a broad realm known as rishus, neither virtuous nor sinful, that lies between divinely commanded and divinely averos. However, in the Kabbalistic division of reality, there is no middle ground. Nothing is neutral. Anything that does not actively relate to God is automatically of the other side. There cannot be anything that does not relate positively or negatively to God. The world of holiness is a world of unity, a world that manifests the truth that Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing but Him. The concept of God as the Ein Sof does not merely imply He's infinitely great, but He is the infinite being, being without limit and without definition, being that embraces everything, so there can be nothing else. In contrast, the other side is rooted in the world of disunity, in which the light of the infinite is not manifest, so the exclusive reality of God is not recognized. Thus, the essence of Sitra Achra is that there is something else besides Him. In its initial, most basic form, the other side does not deny the existence of holiness, nor is it hostile to it. It merely designs to define holiness, to confine it to a set of parameters. It's willing to accept the existence of a lofty and superior realm. What it does not accept is the exclusivity of holiness. In other words, the Sitra Achra says, you davened, you said hallel, you put on tefillin, beautiful, sure there's holiness, sure there's godliness, but there's also the donut, there's also your boich, there's also your ego. That's the Sitra Achra speaking. Whereas the Tzad Elokus, the side of godliness, says, no, God is here, He's there, He's everywhere, God is in everything, and our mission, our task is to find it. He's in everything we eat and everything we drink. He's in every time we fall asleep. He's in everything we choose to read or watch. He's in every conversation. He's in every thought that we have. With all that we do and with everything that we are, we face a choice. There is no rishus. There's no power. There's no neutral. There's no indifference. Everything neatly fits into either the tzad elokus, the godliness, or the nefesh bahami, the animal, or the ego consciousness. V'heim heim kol amasim asher nasim tachas ha-shemesh, asher ha-kol hevelu rizruach, k'ma shekosu bezor b'shalash heim taviru derucha. It is these thoughts, words, and actions of the animal soul that constitute all the things that are done under the sun, which are empty and strain of spirit. In other words, the ego, the animal soul, says, this sufgani is real, and this pleasure you're going to get from it, it's lasting. We know it's fleeting. We know that it's not authentic, it's not real, it's not lasting. We know it's only the here and now. See, the godly soul knows that all there really is eternity and immortality. All there is the infinite. And how can we connect and attach everything in this world to the infinite? Whereas the Sitra Achra, the other side, says, no, yes, there's also the infinite. And there's also the eternal. But the here and now is pretty good too. Enjoy a little bit of here and now. Have that thought. Have that image. Act out in that way. Look at that thing. Eat that thing. Pursue that thing. Express that laziness. The Sitra Achra, this other side, says, there's infinite and there's eternal. But the here and now is pretty good too. And there's another side. There's a Sitra Achra. And that's the battle. The Sitra Achra inside us versus the Tzad Elokus. Ego or Elokus or godliness. Or godliness. Which one will win out? Which one will define us? Which one will be who we are? Just to drop more. Not only to actions, also any ostensibly neutral spoken word or thought, while not religiously forbidden, are not consciously directed towards God to fulfill His will or His worship. It means that speech too, if you're talking about narishkeit, if you're speaking nothingness, certainly if you're talking lashon hara, if you're speaking gossip, then you're in the world of iser. It's forbidden. But even if you're just speaking about nothingness, but if you're not connecting that to the infinite, if there's no godliness in it, if that speech is not connecting you and bonding you to others, it's not elevating you, it doesn't have substance to it, then it's not elokus. It's not elokus. So it's not only the world of action, which fits only into two, not into three. It's the world of speech, and it's the world of thought. This is, to be clear, Chevra, this is an incredibly high level to live by. This is not easy. All of your waking moments, all of your consciousness, to be present and mindful, am I ego or elokus? But it's an amazing, excellent barometer. I'm about to post something online. I'm about to purchase something. I'm about to share something. I'm about to do something. To ask ourselves, and sometimes to ask our cabinet around us, who will be more honest than we are with ourselves, why do I want to do this? Is this ego or elokus? What's driving me? Why do I want to post this? Why do I want to buy this? Why do I want to go there? Why do I want to tell everyone about this? What is driving me to do this? Is that coming from ego or is it coming from elokus? That paradigm, that model, that metric to measure what we're doing. Why am I saying this right now? Why am I doing this right now? Why am I eating this right now? To be able to stop, pause, and ask ourselves. And if it doesn't fit into Elokus, we're not perfect, but at least know that it's ego. At least understand that we're battling and that there's room for improvement. So that's a way to live by. And the Baal HaTanya is going to continue with this, and Emet Hashem will pick it up from here next week. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy. Afreilich and Chanukah.